This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Already started? Could you give to Sheikh my friend? Oh yeah, yeah. I was whatever you're gonna say. So sorry. Whenever I start, it's already started. Can you just set it up? Can we test all this?
So we will watch the ahead to have stopped us tonight. The saying of the Prophet Muhammad Sallam, by the way, to be very
yours is connected. Maybe you, before this one comes, maybe I have to use yours.
The Wi-Fi.
I know. I mean, the, just your phone. Okay, it's coming. Have good Wi-Fi. Okay, maybe if you can give us. It doesn't come. Okay, we stop at the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ما بين بيتي ومنبري روضة من رياض الجنة. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, between my minbar and my house is a garden from the gardens of paradise. Ibn al-Qayyim says, ومن هذا قوله صلى الله عليه وسلم وقد سأله عن وصاله في الصوم. It is also part of this issue that we are discussing, the statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when the companion asked him about doing the wisal for the fasting. Al-wisal, last time we defined it, right? We said wisal is to fast for 2 days continuously without breaking it with suhoor or iftar. That's wisal. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told the companions not to do the wisal. He told them not to do the wisal. فَقَالَ لَا تُوَاصِلُ. So they said, Ya Rasulullah, innaka tuwasil. They said, Ya Rasulullah, but you are doing the wisal. We want to do like yours. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not do wisal. They said, Ya Rasulullah, innaka tuwasil. But you're doing the wisal. And then he told them, inni lastu kahayatikum. Abitu inda rabbi yut'imuni wa yasqini. He said, I'm not like you, because I stay with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah is feeding me and giving me what to drink. The scholars said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is referring to the spiritual kind of feeding. It's not the physical, because if it is the physical one, then he is not fasting anymore. Because in fasting, if you eat or drink, you're not fasting. Even if you are a prophet, you eat or drink intentionally, the fast is gone. So when he says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala feed me, that's why I don't worry and I don't suffer. The scholar said he is referring to the spiritual kind of feeding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given him, which made him forget food and drinks. And subhanAllah, this is also something that we can understand, because sometimes a sick person doesn't eat. Even there are some nusus that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do not pressure him. He doesn't eat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replace that need he has with something else. So he doesn't eat that much and it works with him. Wisal in Islam is wrong, and a person can only do it up to Fajr. You know, you don't take suhoor, and this is not, you don't take iftar, and this is not recommended actually. But if a person insists that he has to punish himself, you know, by staying away from food and drinks, even after the sunset, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam let him do it until Fajr time. Then he should take suhoor for the next day. So wisal is wrong, unless if a person is doing it in this way. The companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam were told not to do, but they insisted. Ya Rasulullah, we want to do. He said, okay, no problem, let's do. They fasted with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam the first day, and it was quite okay, because this is normal. Okay, the second day comes, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam told them, I'm going to continue. They say, yes, Ya Rasulullah, this is what we're looking for. So they continue. Now they are doing competition. Right. The second day, it was quite tough, you know, because they are not like us. In this time of ours, you can probably do it, because you're always in the under the aircon, you know, you don't go to the farm, you don't do heavy work, you know. But in that time, no. You have to go out from early morning, you know. Sometimes you come back after the sunset, exhausting yourself, and then tomorrow you want to go like this. But since they insisted, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam decided to teach them lessons. SubhanAllah, they did the second day, they were really exhausted. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was still strong. And he told them, I'm going to go for the third day. Yeah, they themselves, they told him, Ya Rasulullah, we understand the message. We are stopping here. You know, we don't want to continue anymore. Yeah. SubhanAllah. That's why they said, At-ta'alimu bi al-qawl al-fi'l aqwa min at-ta'alim bil-qawl. Sometimes to teach lessons through actions is greater than teaching lessons through statement. Yeah. They insisted. He said, okay, let's do. And now they learned that, yes, it is not an easy thing to be done. So they understand the wisdom behind not punishing themselves. Because Allah doesn't want us to punish ourselves. That's why He prescribes suhoor and iftar. And Sharia says you even get more blessing if you have the suhoor and the iftar, which confirm the fact that fasting is not prescribed upon us in order to be punished. فَأَخْبَرَ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنَّمَا يَحْصُلُ لَهُ مِنَ الْغِذَاءِ عِنْدَ رَبِّهِ يَقُومُ مَقَامَ الطَّعَامِ وَالشَّرَابِ الْحِسِّ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them that what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving him, the nutrition, right? The kind of spiritual feeding that you get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replaces the food and the drinks. وَأَنَّمَا يَحْصُلُ لَهُ مِنْ ذَلِكَ أَمْرٌ يَخْتَصُّ بِهِ وَلَا يَشَارِكُهُ فِيهِ غَيْرُهُ. And he told the companions that this is only for him. Nobody is getting the same thing other than him. He's the only one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave this. And this is good to have this understanding. Otherwise, nowadays also you might have some people who are doing it, and they will tell you, You get it? So this is only for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. قال فإذا أمسك عن الطعام والشراب فله عنه عوض يقوم مقامه وينوب منابه. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam stayed away from food and drinks. Is there any replacement for that? Yes, there is. Which is the spiritual approach of dhikr that he does, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him forget food and drinks. It is acting as food and drinks for him alone. Yeah. For us, we have to go with the norm. Yeah, we have to go with the norm. It's wrong for a person to go for the wisal because he's losing a lot of rewards, which is the reward of suhoor and iftar. Prophet ﷺ said, this ummah will keep receiving blessings from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as long as we have the suhoor and we have the iftar. Yeah. That's why the moment the sun set, you're not supposed to even wait for the muadhin if you're sure that the sun already set. You just eat. He makes adhan, he doesn't make adhan, it's up to him. And sometimes some of the muadhinin, when do they make adhan? After they eat. Yeah, after they eat. He eat first and then go to the mic and make the adhan for the rest. So if you're sure that the sun is already gone, you just break your fast. The Prophet ﷺ was with one of his companion, and he told him, "Inzil fajdah lana." He asked him to go down and prepare the food for iftar. So the man told him, "Ya Rasulullah, if you go to on top of that hill, you will see the sun." The Prophet ﷺ said, "Go down and get us our food ready." And then he said, "Ya Rasulullah, if you go there, you will still see the sun." "Ya Rasulullah, patient." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Go down and get us our food ready." So then he got it. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, "Listen, when you see the daylight going towards this direction, and the night is coming from this direction, your fast is over. Whether you like it or you don't like it, your fast is finished." Subhanallah. Because you have nowadays some people, they don't break their fast until they see the nujum. Yeah, if they don't see the stars, they don't break their fast. Yeah, where did he get that? Nowhere. Yeah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even the man was telling him, "Ya Rasulullah, if you go and talk, if we're going to do this, if you're in the aeroplane, you will never break your fast. You remain like that, you know." I told you the story for the first experience I have in this. Wallah, I couldn't accept it because the man told us, "Now, ala barakatillah." You know, I managed to see two things. One of them, I can see the night, and the pilot is telling us it is not Maghrib yet. I don't know what he's talking about. You know, for almost 2 hours, we remain like that. And the second experience is, I see the daylight, and the man is telling us, ala barakatillah, after. And everyone was eating. I said, "Wallahi, my knowledge doesn't reach this, you know." Because this is the first time I experienced this, you know. But this is knowledge. Knowledge. Just because we don't know it doesn't mean it is not a fact. And you can trace the application of this knowledge from this hadith. Because he said, "Ya Rasulullah, we still have the daylight. If you go on top of that hill, I'm pretty sure you will see the sun." The Prophet ﷺ said, "Get us our food." You know, he insisted. Because if you keep on going up, when do you break your fast then? So Allah salam alayhi. قال وأنما يحصل له من ذلك أمر يختص به لا يشاركه فيه غيره فإذا أمسك عن الطعام والشراب فله عنه عوض يقوم مقامه وينوب منابه ويغني عنه كما قيل لها أحاديث من ذكراك تشغلها أو ذكراك تشغلها عن الشراب وتلهيها عن الزاد لها بوجهك نور تستضيء به ومن حديثك في أعقابها حادي وإذا شكت من كلال السير أو عادها روح اللقاء فتحيا عند ميعاد. Somebody is talking about his love to another person, whether he's maqtuba or what do you call a person that he loves so much. So he was saying that just remembering this person can cause me to forget everything, including foods and drinks. I don't need to drink as long as I remember this one. Yeah. These are the simple ones. If you go deeper, Ibn Qayyim is going to quote some other ones which we're not going to go through that gangsterism, you know. So this man was saying that just to remember that one, he doesn't need to prepare for a journey. He just go. As long as he knows that on the way he will be remembering that person, that's more than enough for him. He doesn't need food or drinks. He said not only that, at night, he feels that he has a light that is coming from that person which is showing him the way. And not only him, he says the animal that he is riding. Whenever the animal gets tired, he just remembers that sister or that brother and mention the name of that person to the animal, and then the animal will be energetic and move very quickly. You get it? He says when they lost energy, as long as the animals knows that we're going to meet this person, the animal will, he just need to tell the animal, don't forget we're going to this person. And that's more than enough. So that's supposed to be with who? Rabbul Alameen only. He's the only one that you remember him, you forget everything. But not human beings. And not anybody else. You say that, you just remember him, that you forget food and drinks. Allahumma stan. But this is their life. Wallahi, only Islam regulates life and remove you and take you away and liberate you from the shackles of evil love, yeah, which many of us have. Yeah. The heart is controlled by somebody else. Yeah. You have to be very careful. You love a person, that kind of love, but open the room. No, you should know that only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala should be given the absolute love. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then you relax. Yeah. Iwallah. And nowadays, if you don't get something, you get annoyed, you know. You crumble. You know, your life becomes miserable. You cannot be productive anymore. Why? You should understand that nobody should deserve this in your life. It's only one who has your heart, and that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Iwallah. You'll be free. Yeah, you will be living a very comfortable life. Whatever you look for, you're looking for business, school, education, whatever, wife, husband, you know, you got disappointed, just keep moving. Keep moving, you know. How many business you have on earth? Millions of them, you know. Countless number of them. I'm talking about the halal ones. Yeah, if you fail in this, don't get annoyed. Just keep moving. Imam Shafi said, إِذَا ضَاقَ رِزْقُ الْيَوْمِ فَاصْبِرْ إِلَىٰ غَدٍ عَسَىٰ نَكَبَتُ الدَّهْرِ عَنْكَ تَزُولُ. I love this advice given by those scholars. He says when you face difficulty in life today, he says, don't worry. The risk is in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, don't worry. عَسَىٰ نَكَبَتُ الدَّهْرِ عَنْكَ تَزُولُ. He said, فَاصْبِرْ إِلَىٰ غَدٍ. Be patient until tomorrow. You know, tomorrow doesn't mean tomorrow, this one, you know, the next day. No, meaning days to come. Perhaps this difficulty that you are suffering from will be gone. The Arabs, they have one nice statement. They said, دوام الحال من المحال. Yeah, to have a situation being continuous is impossible, at least in this dunya. In the Akhirah, we have Jannah, Na'im, this one is continuous, will never end at all. But in the dunya, you have Hal, which is Da'im, it remains like this. No, never. Never, never. You also never stay in the way you are. You are not like this. You are young, you keep growing, and then sometime will come, a person might be reducing in terms of Akal and many other things. So the same goes to anything. I just use business as an example, but you have issues of looking for wife, looking for husband, you know, which many of us fail. Yeah, many of us fail. Think wisely. Nobody deserves to take your heart in this dunya except Allah Rabbul Alameen, you Allah. Yeah, you look for good partnership. That's a good objective. You know, that's a nice and good goal. But at the same time, if you couldn't get it, understand that Qadr supersedes. Go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Him to grant you good and move forward. Don't hang your life on somebody, whoever that person might be. Always be mutawakkil on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, then you will succeed. You'll be free. Otherwise, wallahi, many of us are slaves. Yeah. We understand slavery being slavery of somebody, right? No. One of the worst type of slavery is the spiritual one. To be enslaved by your love, you know, to something or somebody. قال وكلما كان وجود الشيء أنفع للعبد وهو إليه أحوج كان تألمه بفقره أشد. Ibn al-Qayyim says, if the existence of something is really, really beneficial to you, if that thing which you're looking for, if the existence of that thing is really beneficial to you and you really need it, what happens when you lost it? You'll be in pain. Yeah, you'll be in pain. وكلما كان عدمه أنفع له كان تألمه بوجوده أكثر. The same goes to the opposite. If let's say to have something not existent is better for you, not to be in company with somebody, not to be in a business, not to be in a place, you know, this is better for you. If you try to avoid it, but unfortunately it still comes, what happened? You will be in pain. قال ولا شيء. Okay, this is a very important statement. ولا شيء على الإطلاق. He says there is nothing in this life. على الإطلاق means absolutely. أنفع للعبد من إقباله على الله. He said there is nothing that is more beneficial to you as a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than what? Coming forwards towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, seeking the pleasure of Allah. And you Allah, Sadaqa ibn al-Qayyim. Nothing that brings you ni'mah, that brings you benefit that is greater than you being with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاشْتِغَالِهِ بِذِكْرِهِ. And to be busy with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. وَتَنَعُمُهُ بِحُبِّهِ. And to have the pleasure and the ni'mah, you know, the enjoyment, just because you reflect upon your love to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Just to feel that you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the most interesting thing to the life of in the life of a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَإِيثَارُهُ لِمَرْضَاتِهِ. And to be a person who is always favoring the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. بَلْ لَا حَيَاةَ لَهُ وَلَا نَعِيمًا وَلَا سُرُورًا وَلَا بَهْجَةَ إِلَّا بِذَلِكَ. Please do remember this. It's a simple words, but these are the ones that are marking your success in this life. He says what? There is no way for you to live, to have the haya. The true haya is the hayat of the heart. There is no way for you to have a haya. There is no way for you to have ni'mah. There is no way for you to be in a state of happiness. There will be no way for you to be in a state of comfort illa bidhalik, unless if you are busy with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قَالَ فَعَدَمُهُ أَعْلَمُ شَيْءٍ لَهُ وَأَشْهَدُهُ عَذَابًا عَلَيْهِ. You know, losing this fact that you're one of those people who are favoring Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over anything, who loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more than anything, if you lost this, this is the worst kind of punishment that can happen to a wise and a smart person. وَأَشْهَدُهُ عَذَابًا. The worst type of punishment ala al-abd. وَإِنَّمَا تَغِيبُ الرُّوحُ عَنْ شُهُودِ هَذَا الْعَذَابِ وَالْأَلَمْ لِشْتِغَالِهَا بِغَيْرِهِ. طيب, why don't we feel it? Nowadays, most of us, they don't feel this punishment, right? Ibn al-Qayyim is saying that this is the worst punishment you can experience in your life. But most of us don't feel this. He said, why? He said, because the soul is busy with something else that took the heart. Remember that poet, right? The one who was saying, لَهَا أَحَدِيثُ مِنْ ذِكْرَكِ تَشْغَلُهَا. You know, this kind of person, you know, he believes that remembering that person is more than enough for him to cause him forgetting anything, you know, to forget anything. So Ibn al-Qayyim says the reason why we don't feel this punishment, it is because the heart is taken and enslaved by the dunya. Otherwise, if this dunya is to be away from us, trust me, you will see this punishment in the way Ibn al-Qayyim is mentioning. قَالَ فَتَجِيبُ بِهِ أَنْ شُهُودِ مَا هِيَ قال لاشتغالها بغيره واستغراقها في ذلك الغير فتغيب به عن شهود ما هي فيه من ألم الفوات بفراق أحب شيء إليه وأنفعه له لها. You know, so you're supposed to be having that pain in your heart. Pain of what? Not being able to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not being able to have the uns of being with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life. Which Ibn al-Qayyim says this is the most enjoyable thing in this life, to be having the uns of you being with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life. So you don't feel it. Why? Because something is occupying the place. قَالَ وَهَذِهِ مَنْزِلَةُ السَّكْرَانِ الْمُسْتَغْرِقِ فِي سُكْرِهِ الَّذِي احترق داره وأمواله وأهله وأولاده وهو في استغراقه في السكر لا يشعر بألم ذلك الفوات وحسرته. He said this person is exactly like Sakran. Sakran means somebody who is drunk. He drunk and at the same time his house and his wealth and everything is gone, but he doesn't care because the sukr already dominated the brain, you know. I mean, he lost his house, he lost his money, you know, he can see the fire in the house, but he doesn't feel anything because he's still sakran. He said, this is the situation of the vast majority of us. So Allah salam wa al-afiya. حَتَّى إِذَا صَحَّى وَكُشِفَ عَنْهُ غِطَاءُ السُّكْرِ وَانْتَبَهَ مِنْ رَقْدَةِ الْخَمْرِ فَهُوَ أَعْلَمْ بِحَالِهِ حِينَ إِذًا. He said, until the time, this sakran, when is he going to understand the danger of what exactly happened? The seriousness of what happened when the sukr, the drunkenness is gone. Because it's not going to continue, right? A time will come, it will go. When it goes away from him, he will see the size, you know, of the tragedy. And then he will start to reflect. At the time, no regret will benefit him at all. Because he already lost the house, everything is burnt, you know. He says most of us are like that, unfortunately. قال وهكذا الحال سواء عند كشف الغطاء ومعاينة الطلاء الآخرة والإشراف على مفارقة الدنيا والانتقال منها إلى الله بل الألم والحسرة والعذاب هناك أشد بأضعاف مضاعفة. Ibn Qayyim says this is exactly the situation of somebody who lives in this kind of sukr and he remains like this. You remember long ago? He said, most of us, they reflect, they remember, they understand that they were sleeping when they see the angel of death. He said, this person remains like this until the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removed the blindness from his eyes, the hijab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Qaf, he says, فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاءَكَ لَقَدْ كُنْتَ فِي غَفْلَةٍ مِّنْ هَذَا فَكَشَفْنَا عَنْكَ غِطَاءَكَ فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٍ. Allah says, you are in a state of ghafla. Ghafla means negligence. You don't care. Until the time Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remove this hijab that is depriving you from seeing the reality. When is that happening? During death. And wallahi, this is the worst tragedy that can happen to human beings in this life before he leaves. To be able to reflect and to understand the reality when you see the angel of death, because at that time, what can you do? Nothing. So Ibn Qayyim says most of us will never benefit from any reminder, and they will be remembering what somebody told them when they see the angel of death. And subhanAllah, the angels will tell him, imagine a person receiving this message at this moment. They will tell him, you were negligent before. And today we open and we remove that blindness and the hijab that is depriving you from seeing the reality. فَبَصَرُكَ الْيَوْمَ حَدِيدٌ. And your eyes now, and they are like metal. They see everything properly. And that was the time a person would reflect. Allah says, وَأَنَّا لَهُ ذِكْرًا. Yeah, because at that moment, the Prophet ﷺ said, even tawbah is not accepted at that time. When the angel of death is seen by a person, no tawbah will be accepted. Whatever a person is on, then khalas. He cannot repent at that time. It's too late. It's too late. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-afiya. So Ibn Qayyim says, a person remain in this situation without any reflection, without coming back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, until the time he see the beginning of the akhirah started to visit him. وَالْإِشْرَافِ عَلَى مُفَارَقَةِ الدُّنْيَا. And he realized that he's going to leave this dunya. وَالْإِنْتِقَالِ مِنْهَا إِلَى اللَّهِ. And also he realizes that now he is leaving the dunya to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's a very great moment, right? Yeah. And subhanAllah, what makes this very sensitive and hard is that there is no way for you to escape. Ewa Allah. It's very, 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 very amazing and very painful at the same time. How negligent are we, all of us? And we all know that we're going to have this time. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam al-afiyah. Hassan al-Basri said, عَجِبْتُ لِلْجَنَّةِ كَيْفَ نَامَ طَالِبُهَا وَعَجِبْتُ لِلنَّارِ كَيْفَ نَامَ هَارِبُهَا. Al-Hasan al-Basri says, the issue of Jannah is very amazing. So strange. How is it possible for somebody who knows about Jannah and he's looking for Jannah, how is it possible for him to sleep? And he says, whenever I look at hell and whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prepared in hell of tragedy, how is it possible for somebody who is running away from hell sleeps? He doesn't mean we shouldn't sleep, but he is talking about how is it possible for us to be negligent in this dunya. He's not talking about sleeping literally. No, he sleeps also. You know, but Rasulullah sleeps. But he's talking about how is it possible that we know about this and we are still negligent? And you, Allah, this is the way it is. The wise and the smart person is somebody who prepared for this. One of the king, if I'm not mistaken, was Harun Rashid. He asked one of the scholars, he said, please, I need explanation because whenever I remember the Akhirah, I feel so sad. I don't want to go. He told him, yes, you're right. Because عمرتم دنياكم وخربتم أخراكم فأنتم تكرهون الخروج من العمران إلى الخراب. He said, because you built up your dunya in the wrong way. Because if you build the dunya in the right way, it's okay. It's okay, you will not worry that much. But you built up the dunya in the wrong way. وَخَرَّبْتُمْ أُخْرَاكُمْ. And you are building the dunya at the expense of the akhirah. You destroy your akhirah. He says it is very obvious for somebody to always hate going out of building to destruction. Why would I go out of my house to go and live in a place which is destroyed? You know, why? It is very obvious your attitude and your behavior will be like this. But if you know that you did the right thing, why would you be scared? You will be afraid of you seeing something different from what you are expecting because of your intention. This one remains with the believers. You get it? We do. Worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But at the same time, you should have a room that is pushing you to have the fear of not being accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of your intention not being accurate. This is very important because it helps you to always try your best to perfect your intention and to perfect your deed. If you're satisfied with what you are doing, with your intention, you'll be negligent. You'll always tell yourself, it's okay, it's fine, I'm doing the right thing. You will not try to improve. One of the scholars said, I met not less than 30 companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Kulluhum yakhafu an-nifaq ala nafsi. Each and every one of them is being scared of being a munafiq. These are companions, right? We deserve to be more afraid than them, right? And thus help us, inshallah, to always make sure that we do it according to what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam prescribed for us. So Ibn al-Qayyim says, if at the moment this sukr is gone, the hijab is being removed, and a person sees the reality that now he's moving towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is going to get involved in pain and regret and punishment, which is much greater than whatever dunya he is losing. The pain that you get when you lost a dunya, wallahi, that one is the worst type of pain. Actually, there is no room of comparison, as Ibn al-Qayyim also said in the near future. He said, فَإِنَّ الْمُصَابَ فِي الدُّنْيَا يَرْجُو جَبْرَ مُصِيبَتِهِ بِالْعِوَاضِ وَيَعْلَمُ أَنَّهُ قَدْ أُصِيبَ بِشَيْءٍ زَائِلٍ لَا بَقَاءَ لَهُ. He said, because the one who is affected with a musibah and a calamity in this dunya, he still have a room that tells him that this might be gone. Because nothing is decreed to remain like that. It's temporary. And also, he has the hope that I can fight with money, with jah, with respect, with so many, dimensions to remove this calamity. Yeah, you are sick. You have the hope that if you go to the medical doctor, inshallah, they might find solution to your problem. That hope gives you some relief. Do you get the idea? Ibn Qayyim is trying to let you understand that there is no comparison between the musibah in the dunya and the musibah in the akhirah. Because musibah in the akhirah doesn't have compensation. This one you can have a compensation for it. You can have a replacement for it. But in the akhirah, you don't have that replacement. قَالَ فَكَيْفَ بِمَنْ مُصِيبَتُهُ بلا عوض عنه ولا بدل منه ولا نسبة بينه وبين الدنيا جميعا. What do you think about somebody who is in a calamity, in a test, that there is no solution? You Allah, no solution. What solution you can find? You know? No solution. If a person realizes the truth and the reality comes to him at that last minute, you know, and at that time he wanted to repent and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the door is closed. What other solutions he has? No, he just has to face the consequences. If Allah in the future decided to show mercy upon him, that's it. Because Allah did with some people. Very, 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 very little amount of people. Which means the system doesn't go with this. But there is an exception. And a smart person is a person that says, I don't want to take that exception. I want to be with the norm. Because I'm not sure whether I will be among the exempted people or not. Across the history, how many people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exempted, which he told us? Very little. That person who went to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment and because of his tawheed, although he has huge amount of sins, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive everything and take him to paradise. That person who used to go to the graveyard and bring out people and take the kafan, you know, and do so many sins, you know. And before he died, he committed one of the worst type of sins by believing that there is a circumstance where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot have power and ability over him. You remember him? The person who told his children, if I die, burn me. And take the ashes, some of them put it in the sea and some put it in the hurricane. What is he trying to say? He told his kids, because if you don't do this, Allah will get me. And if Allah gets me, I'll be in trouble. What does that mean? If they do, he believes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not get him. Ibn Taymiyyah says this is one of the worst type of sins against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that was the last thing he did before death. Apart from the other sins he has, before dying he did something that affect his aqidah in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is deficient. Yeah, because if you believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cannot get you in certain circumstances, what does that mean? He's deficient. Wallah subhanahu wa ta'ala al-qawiyyul aziz. There is no fatigue or deficiency that can ever affect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But who is making the decree and the decision here? Allah Rabbul Alameen. He died. The family did whatever he advised them to do. They burned him. They took the ashes. They cut it into two pieces. They put some in the sea and some in the hurricane, you know. After they finished everything, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, nothing is difficult with him. He just told us the wind, bring whatsoever is in you. Yeah, that's it. It's over. And he told the sea, bring out whatsoever is inside you. Both of them brought him out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him to come back again. That's it. He came back again. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked him this question. Abdi, why did you do that? Subhanallah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to know how merciful is he. The man hit the target correctly. He says, Ya Allah, because of my strong fear of you. You know, that was the case. فَغَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَهُ وَأَدْخَلَهُ الْجَنَّةِ. Allah told the angels, close his speech, take him to Jannah. That's it. Are you going to say that, okay, let me do whatever I want to do at the end of the day, I also go like that, you know? No, we don't do that. You do the right thing. This is the only exception we have and some other few. You know, that means the system is still in the way it is. That either you do good thing, and go to the paradise and receive the good from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or a person who doesn't do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might punish him or might not punish him. Why do I want to put myself into these possibilities? Might get the punishment, might not get the punishment. Why? Why can't you just go straight forward? Just like the way we do in our life, we try to avoid what? Risk. Yeah. You should deal with the akhirah in this way. Much more than the way you are dealing with the dunya in this way. Avoiding risk. Yeah. Don't you ever agree to have the possibility of going to hell when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You Allah, it's not good for you. And you are not sure. The punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is shadid. Allah says, for yawma idhin, la yu'adhibu adhabahu ahad. The lowest person in hell is a person who is put in hell and this is just his foot touching hell. And you know how big is a person who is inside hell? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said between here, you know this place, the shoulder from here until the udhun. You know, that's the udhun. Shahmat udhun. You know the meat of the udhun from here until here only is the distance of 3 days. That's how big is this person. Just from here to here, 3 days, a person need to go to this place. But the Prophet ﷺ said, that man, and dirsuhu mithlu jabali Uhud. The molars, the teeth, is like the Mount of Uhud. You know Mount of Uhud, right? For those of you who went to Saudi Arabia, you see Mount of Uhud. Inshallah, soon you will go, you will see what we're talking about. The teeth is just like that one. So you can imagine how big is this person, and what is the distance between the feet and the head? If from here till here is 3 days, what do you think about the rest? But he just put his leg, his foot on the two pieces of hell. The Prophet ﷺ said, you can see his brain is boiling. The reaction is reaching that place. And then somebody will come and say, it's okay as long as I will go out of hell, you know, one day is fine to enjoy life. Ya Allah, this is the real junoon for somebody to have the peace of mind that I can just keep on going in the way I want to go, you know, because that is a possibility for me to go to paradise. Even if I go to hell, one day I will go to paradise. Wallahi, that's the absolute ignorance, blatant ignorance. If a person knows what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in that place, he would never agree to have a transit in hell. قَالَ فَلَوْ قَضَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى بِالْمَوْتِ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ هَذِهِ الْحَسَرَةِ وَالْأَلَمِ لَكَانَ الْعَبْدُ جَدِيرًا بِهِ وَالْمَوْتُ لَيَعُودُ أَعْظَمَ أُمْنِيَتَهُ وَأَكْبَرَ حسراته وهذا ولو كان الألم على مجرد الفوات فكيف وهناك من العذاب على الروح والبدن بأمور أخرى وجودية ما لا يقدر قدره إلا الله عز وجل. Ibn Qayyim says, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed death for this person, he will be happy with it. He deserved to die. But subhanAllah, death at that time will also be something that he's looking for. You know, people in hell, they enjoy death. They want it to come. They want it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَأْتِهِ الْمَوْتُ مِنْ كُلِّ مَكَانٍ وَمَا هُوَ بِمَيِّتٍ. And in Surah Zukhruf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَنَادَوْ يَا مَالِكُ لِيَقْضِ عَلَيْنَا رَبُّكَ قَالَ إِنَّكُمْ مَاكِثُونَ. They will keep on calling Malik. Who is Malik? The angel of hell. خَزِنُ النَّارِ. They will keep on talking to him, please, لِيَقْضِ عَلَيْنَا رَبُّكَ. Let Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take our soul. We want to die. And some scholars said they will be asking for 40 years. Allahu alam, how long they will be begging him. After those years and the ages, and then he will look at them and tell them, innakum makithun. This word is more painful than the punishment they are in. Because before this statement, they used to have a hope that maybe they will go out of hell. But after the statement, innakum makithun, that hope is gone. The punishment will be intense. Yeah, because now the little bit of hope they have, because sometimes even in this dunya, when you have a hope of solution, you know, it gives relief. You know, that hope, as long as it remains, it gives you relief. But when the angel talked to them in this way, the hope will be removed. And he told them, why? Why they have to stay there? He said, لَقَدْ جِئْنَاكُمْ بِالْحَقِّ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَكُمْ لِلْحَقِّ كَارِهُونَ. He said, because we brought the truth to you in that dunya, but most of you don't want that. You know, in hell, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you will ask the lowest person in hell. The lowest person in hell. He will ask him, what do you think? If you have the dunya and whatsoever in it, would you be able to give it as a ransom to take yourself out of hell? What do you think the answer will be? Yes. Yeah, sallallahu an yasimana. Wallahi, may Allah protect us. Because you see in hell, يَوَدُّ الْمُجْرِمُ لَوْ يَفْتَدِي مِنْ عَذَابِ يَوْمَ إِذٍ بِبَنِيهِ. The criminal who is in hell, he will be saying to Allah, Ya Allah, take my children. You know, a person in this life can sacrifice himself for the sake of the family to live. But when he sees hell, the system changes. He will say he wants all of his children to be taken to hell, as long as he will be taken out. بِبَنِي وَصَاحِبَتِهِ وَأَخِي. You know, even in this life, when you go to the court and the witness is your wife, does the judge agree with this person to witness the event? Yes, he do. Sorry to disappoint you. He will do. He will accept. But if, let's say, the opposite happens, your wife is in trouble, and you were the witness, the judge, would he agree with you? Never. Yeah. Don't ask me why. Because usually, according to the system, if a person is really, really within his akal, a person will never agree to go against his wife. Never, never. That's the norm. The wife might go against him, but but he will never agree to go against his wife. Unless if he lost his akal, because any deficiency that affects his wife is affecting who? Him. Yeah, it's affecting him. You might talk about him. He got a lot of deficiency. It doesn't reach the wife. People will see her as an innocent. But trust me, if you cause any deficiency to the wife, it goes to him straightforward. Yeah. That's why in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when these two companions came for the li'an, the husband said he saw her committing zina with his own eyes. When they came for the oath, billahi alladhi la ilaha illa huwa, I saw her committing zina. He kept on saying this, and he has to say it 4 times. Number 5, he must say, if I'm lying against her, may Allah curse me. Yeah, the companions were there waiting for him. Is he going to say it or not? None of them told him, why did you complete? None of them told him, don't complete. Because it is in their mind that there is no way for somebody to come and expose his wife in public. It doesn't go to the aql. That's why they let him complete it. But when it comes to her, when she said, Billahi alladhi la ilaha illa huwa, 4 times, when she's going to mention number 5, the companion said, sister, please wait. They told her, please think. Innaha mujiba. If you complete it, you're going to get what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the ayah. Please think wisely. They love her, you know. They love good to happen to her, you know. Subhanallah, she kept quiet. She did not complete. If she is truthful, she's going to just complete. She doesn't care. In the way, he doesn't care also. But she kept quiet. And then she said to everyone, I will never let my tribe to be embarrassed for the rest of their life. Because of the tribe and the family, she agrees to get the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What kind of thinking is this? She completed number 5. Yeah, she completed the 5th one. She said, if he's saying the truth, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be angry, may the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon me. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he heard that, he said, ahadukum akadhib, one of you is lying. And then he told the companions, please, watch and see. If the child comes, if he looks like this, he has this kind of eyes, he has this kind of body, he has this kind of this and that, that means he belongs to the, accused person. His name is Sharik bin Sahma. He belongs to him. That means the man was truthful. But if she brought the child, and the child looks like this, and this, and this, and this, that means the husband is lying. This is his child. So the companions waited. When they heard that this woman gave a birth, subhanAllah, they went and they see it's like the photocopy of the accused person. Exactly what Rasulullah said. So they came to the Prophet and told him, Ya Rasulullah, Rajul Sadiq, the man has spoken the truth. Actually, from the beginning, you can understand, because you already said it. She said, I will only complete this because I don't want to embarrass my people. I don't want to cause them any shame. You know, and Islam doesn't agree with this. You don't put yourself into trouble for the sake of others. Yeah, especially when it comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you're going to make Allah angry with you because you don't want your tribe to be. Wallahi, let the whole world get angry. Who cares? This is Allah Rabbul Alameen. But subhanAllah, you have some mentality, some people up to date. A person will agree openly to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he can tell you, yes, I agree to go with this because I don't want people to see me different. Ya akhi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to do this? No, I don't want. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if I have the chance and the right to punish somebody without any evidence, I will definitely punish this woman. Because she already did what Allah asked her to do, the swearing, and he said, I just have to leave her with that. Otherwise, this is enough as a fact that she's lying and the husband was speaking the truth. So back to that place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَيَأْتِهِ الْمَوْتُ مِنْ كُلِّ مَكَانٍ وَمَا هُوَ بِمَيِّتٍ. And death will come to that person who is in hell from every angle and every dimension, but unfortunately, he will never die. So that's why Ibn al-Qayyim says, these type of people, death becomes omniyatuhum, something that they hope, they wish to see death coming to them, but they will never die. Ibn al-Qayyim says, if the punishment is just about you dying, not you, but that person dying, you know, that you can say, yeah, could be tolerated. He dies and that's it. But he says, but no, it is not like that. He will be receiving the spiritual punishment and the physical one, both of them, you know, be umur, you know, issues which nobody knows them except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ibn al-Qayyim says the kind of punishment that Allah is putting on this person, he says, nobody knows. Nobody can give you the right estimate of this punishment except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. قال فتبارك من حمل هذا الخلق الضعيف هذين الألمين الذين لا تحملهما الجبال الرواسي. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ibn al-Qayyim says, glory be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who put these two pains on this person. You know, the pain that mountains cannot handle. Even the mountains cannot handle. You Allah. So, it's now up to us to make a right decision, a right choice, and to choose the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and busy with the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to avoid this kind of punishment. Trust me, many of us are in this punishment, but unfortunately they don't see it. There are some people that you can see, you know, from their faces that these people are not at ease. But unfortunately they don't see that. Yeah. You think about their well-being more than them. May Allah grant us tawfiq. I guess this is the best place to stop, inshallah. We're heading towards 7. Let's move to question and answer session. Barakallahu feekum. Thanks for the book.
Yeah. You were mentioning about the breaking of the fast, and the Prophet said that if you're up, the situation where you're on top of the hill or below the hill, but these days we face a similar situation with the tall buildings.
As long as the adhan is being made, the muadhin made the adhan, because if you're on the ground, the focus is on the ground.
Okay.
Yeah, you're on the ground. Do you see the sunset? Yes. That's it. Otherwise, if you keep on getting top on top, you will see sun somewhere else there. So we go with the ground. As long as the sun already set on the ground, then you just break your fast. You're done. The second one is greater, is worse. The curse usually comes first, and then the result of the curse will be the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is angry and he sent his wrath upon the Jew. And the Christian, they got curse. لُوِنَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ بَدِي إِسَىٰ إِلَىٰ عَلَىٰ دَاوُدِ الضَّالُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called them Dalun. Why those ones, they got the wrath of Allah? Because they have the knowledge and they hate it. And in Islam, whoever has the knowledge and he doesn't make use of it, he will be punished and blamed more than the person who doesn't have the knowledge at the first place. Both of them are blameworthy, but this one is worse. That's the situation of the Jew. Yeah, and that's why you see even in the case of this woman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْخَامِسَةُ أَنَّ لَعْنَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ. For the man, may Allah curse him. He deserves the curse. Well, the curse is at-tabdu min rahmatillah, to be chased away from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is really tough. And the sister, when it comes to her case, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wal khamisata anna ghadab Allahi alayha, the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon her. The scholar said, because she is the only one who has the knowledge. She is the only one who can confirm, because you might see them both in one blanket, on top of each other, but it doesn't necessarily mean that they're committing the actual zina. They might not be doing. Yeah, but she knows whether they did or they did not do. Even the one who did might not know. Yeah, might not know, but she knows whether the zina happens or not. So she's the only one who has the most accurate knowledge. If she hide it, she deserves the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah grant us good and ability to avoid anything that can cause us this wrath or curse. One.
There was a question from the last class.
Okay.
There was a question from the last class.
How can a person that needs zakah, how can he make it know that he needs zakah without the general people knowing?
Yeah, because as I always mention, we live in the community. As long as we are doing the right thing, we know each other. Trust me, these things are not cannot be hidden at all. Yeah, you might see a person, and you have because you're too far from him, so you think that he's okay. But subhanAllah, if you have to go and consult his neighbors or some people who are very close to him, they might tell you things which you might not believe. But these are realities that a person needs. Maybe he might sleep for 1 or 2 days without having a proper food at home. But he's the kind of a person that doesn't want to go and embarrass and humiliate himself. He doesn't ask. And even Allah talk about them. He said, "Laysa al-nas ilhafa." But you cannot live in the community, without having the community know in your situation. They will know. Whether you like it or you don't like it, they will know. One day.
So, Sheikh, if we know a person that qualifies to get zakah, what should we do?
Just go and give him. Give him. If you have doubt, then tell him this is zakah, so that he will know whether, if he doesn't qualify, he should stay away from it. Yeah. If you don't have doubt, you just give him that. That's it? Alhamdulillah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you good and tawfiq and be with you wherever you are. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafeel. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Adam, they gave me discount, so don't invite them.
After we ended, someone had a question.
Keep it for later.
Inshallah.
Okay, inshallah.